you to ponder.
As I begin the message this morning, message that is entitled, What Are You All About? What gives your life meaning? What is it that gives meaning to your existence? What is it that you wish to accomplish in your life? My son played football, baseball. I have all of his trophies sitting down in the corner of the basement, covered with dust. I saw here some time ago where one of the big football players had his Super Bowl ring up for sale. Wow. What is it that you wish to accomplish in life, and is that what gives your life meaning? What is it that consumes you? What do you spend the most time in your life doing? Do you have a goal and a purpose for your time here on earth? What is your purpose of life? You ever stop to think about some of these things? Sometimes we get our life on automatic. Alarm clock goes off, push the button, get up, get ready, go to work, put in the hours, come home, get the paper, sit down, watch TV, brush teeth, go to bed, and do that 5 days a week. Then we're on automatic on the weekends. Some people on a Sunday morning, apparently, for whatever reason. Decided to stay home. But you're on automatic. Alarm went off. You got up and said, church time. Woo! Can't wait. And here you are. What is your purpose for the time you spend on this earth? When you come to the end of your life, and all of us will. Yesterday I laid to rest a 91-year-old. When you come to the end of your life, what satisfaction will you have in the way you lived your life? I remember years ago preaching in a little country church, Uniontown, Pennsylvania, an old coal mining town. Some of you didn't catch that. Pastor and his wife got up and sang a song. We used to hear it in church a lot years ago. Wasted years. Oh, how foolish. 70-some-year-old man in the back of the church. Practiced voodoo. Witchcraft. But he was in church that night. The pastor and his wife sang that song, Wasted Years. And when they finished, he stood up, tears rolling down his cheeks. I'll never forget. Walked out of his seat and came down to the altar and surrendered his life to Christ. His testimony, I've wasted 70 years. How could I ever get them back? So when you come to the end of your life, what satisfaction will you have in the way you have lived your life? My text, Matthew 22:35-40. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Now, we all know that when God gives a commandment, we're to perform that, right? That becomes purpose in our lives. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Turn to somebody and say, "You're my neighbor." Now turn to the people behind you, in front of you, and say, "You're my neighbor." Now close your eyes and picture your enemy. Don't have any enemies? You don't have somebody don't like the way you comb your hair? Brother Max is saying, "I don't have any hair to comb. I've got very little." Picture your enemy. "You're my neighbor." Jacob, Darian sang a song. Jacob talked about people who are hurting. Picture those people and tell them, "You're my neighbor." Jesus used this occasion to teach us the greatest duty of human life. That is to love. Not to make money. Not to be famous. Not to be a great person, simply to love. Now, to some people, that would be a letdown. But Jesus is saying the greatest commandment, the greatest purpose of life, the greatest duty of your life is simply to love. Love will provide for every need man has. Think about that. Every need man has, love will provide. You love your wife, you get a job in your work to provide. You love your kids, you get a job in your work and provide. You see, love is the motivation. Some individuals go to work and they hate where they work. They hate what they do. Why do they do it? Because they want to provide. They have a love for somebody. They want to provide for them, regardless. So love will provide for every need man has. Therefore, love not only the greatest duty of man, but it is also the greatest purpose of a person's life. So all of those questions I ask you in the beginning, if love was not in there, if loving others, not only those that are close to you, loving God, if that wasn't in there for your purpose of life, if loving your neighbor wasn't in there for the purpose of your life, to give you satisfaction when you come to the end of a life, then you're missing the mark. Think about it. Love gives life meaning. To have loved is to have accomplished greatness in life. There is no greater goal or greater purpose than to love while on this earth. And to come to the end of life knowing you have loved gives the greatest satisfaction of all. Heavenly Father, in you through the Holy Spirit to come this morning and touch our hearts. This is your word. It's not mine, but it's yours. And I'm asking you, Lord, to take these words and implant them deep in our hearts and our lives. And help us, Lord, that here this morning there will be transformations in people's lives. Transformations about the purpose of their life. The reason they are living, the reason they exist. Let it transform their goals and their values so that when they come to the end of life, they can put a smile on their face and say, I am satisfied. I have loved God. I have loved my family. I have loved my neighbors, and I have even loved those who do not love me. I am satisfied. Amen. Your purpose, your first purpose in life is to love your Creator. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart. Does that mean with all of that little fist-sized organ that's pumping in your breast? No, that's not talking about the heart he wants you to love with. You shall love him with all of your soul. Where is your soul? Your soul lives within your tabernacle, your body, your physical being, and your mind. So what he's talking about is loving God with everything within us. Your God. The word your here, your God, is a personal relationship. Meaning you are to be having a personal relationship with the Lord. A face-to-face encounter. We've been hearing about a young man who apparently was hoaxed. He fell in love with a young woman that he never saw and he never talked to. Is that possible? It might be. I don't know. I've never been there. I've always had Linda to look in her eyes. And I did an awful lot of that when we were courting. I'd ride my bicycle for 15 miles to go to see her. Hello, I didn't have a car then. Amen. See her every day in school and in the band closet. Ooh. Face to face. And Jesus is saying here that your love for God is to be a personal relationship. It's to be not to some distant, uncaring, but it is to the God who loves you and cares for you. You know, I go to some other religious function at a time, and one thing I don't own is a prayer book. I don't have one. Oh, I've read prayers and they're beautiful, and boy, they get to the point, they say everything you want to say and all of those things, but to me, praying is coming from the heart. And for me to get up and read a prayer to a congregation, just don't cut it. You see, I believe my relationship with Jesus Christ is a personal thing. When I talk to Him, I talk to Him like I'm talking to an individual who is close to me. I feel His presence. Then after I talk to Him, I shut up a while. And I listen for His answer. And He answers back to my soul, my spirit, my being. So it's a personal relationship. It's an encounter as with a close friend. Because He wants you to love Him. He wants you to love Him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That is, with your whole being. Where can we find an example of that? I think one of them is the Apostle Paul in the Bible. The Apostle Paul said on one occasion, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." In other words, he's saying, my whole life is to live for Jesus. It's about living for Christ. That's number one. And he proved it, didn't he? He was shipwrecked. He would preach the gospel and love people, and they'd throw him in jail for it. He'd preach the gospel and love people, and they'd stone him and leave him for dead. They beat him. He had so many stripes on his back, more than what Jesus took on his own back throughout his lifetime. And yet, what would he do? He would get up and preach again. He would go back to the needy and share the gospel. Christ was the epitome of his entire life. He loved Jesus Christ. Why? Because before he met Jesus, what was his experience? His heart was filled with hatred and bitterness toward the Christian people and the Christian church. He went around arresting the leaders of the Christian church in his day. And he threw them in prison. And no doubt he had their garments laying at his feet while others executed the Christians that he sanctioned. But when Jesus found him, you remember the story. He fell off his horse as a blind and dead man along the road. And Jesus touched him, took the scales of blindness from his eyes, called him into the ministry. He took away the hatred. He took away the bitterness in Paul's heart. He changed his life, made a new creation out of him. And that's why Paul loved him with everything he had within him. He loved Jesus so much that when he came to the end of his life, he was willing to lay his head across the chopping block. And the Roman executor cut his head off. And his dying day, he was still winning people to Jesus Christ. There's an example of this kind of love. Can I do that? Absolutely. That was Paul's purpose, and that needs to become our purpose. You see, a creator takes great pride in what he has created. You ladies ever made a cake, and it turned out real nice? And you set it on the table, and hubby came in and he got a piece of, "Oh, honey, that is the best cake you've ever made." And you're sitting over there frowning. Oh, no. You got a smile from ear to ear. Hello? You gentlemen finished your to-do list that your wife gave you, and you got down through the list and you did it all. The second one hadn't come yet. You accomplished it all. And she's saying, "Oh, sweetheart, you're just such a wonderful husband. You've done everything that I've had for you to do." And you're just smiling ear to ear, also hoping for some other payback. I know what life's all about. See, the Creator created you. And when He created you, He made you the apex of His creation. You're the best of the best. There's nothing second about you. You can go to the store and buy seconds. But when it comes to the Creator making you, He created the best. I don't care what you look like. I don't care whether you're tall or you're short, you're thin or you're otherwise. I don't care what is. I don't care if you have buck teeth, you don't have any teeth, or you've got beautiful teeth. It doesn't make any difference. When God created you, He made the best. You are the apex of His creation. Created you a living, intelligent, beautiful being. And He receives great pleasure in knowing that your love for Him is genuine. Oh, when one of you looks up and says to the Creator, "Oh, Jesus Christ, I love You. I adore You. I want to serve You. I'm going to live for You." You talk about Jesus smiling. He gets the biggest grin on His face that He could ever get. Because His creation loves Him. So that's what it's all about. And that's the greatest purpose in your life, is to love your Creator and to give to Him pleasure. The Lord made you the very best. And when you give from your own heart and soul your very best back to Him, then you have fulfilled the purpose and the reason of your existence. I've stood by the bedsides of dying sinners, and it's not a pretty sight. Those that have no hope, those that have nothing in their heart for God. And they die empty. I read a book one time on the deaths of all the atheists. And some of them died in their beds screaming, "Pull me up out of the flames!" They went out of this world with no hope and nothing in their life. But I've been by the bedsides of great saints of God, when they were pulling into their last breaths, they were still praising Jesus. They were looking forward to going home to be with the Lord. They were satisfied in their lives. The second great purpose in your life is to love your neighbor as yourself. How many love yourselves?
Amen, brother.
I hope it's not that selfish, prideful.
It's healthy.
All right. It's good and healthy. All right. There's a difference. Notice this is an active experience. Or love acts by showing and demonstrating itself. I love you is only empty words unless you do the to-do list. To tell somebody that you love them but you never do anything about it. You're just like the older couple that had their 50th wedding anniversary, and the kids wanted them to say their vows again, and they were trying to get the husband to tell his wife, said, "I love you." He hadn't told her in a lot of years, and they finally prodded him, and he finally said, "I told her 50 years ago I love her. Isn't that enough? I meant it then, I meant it now, so shut up about it." It's more than words. It's talking about demonstrating that love. If you love somebody, how are they going to know unless you demonstrate that love? If a person loves Christ, then they will do things for Him to demonstrate their love for Him. And if a person loves his neighbor, then they will do things to demonstrate their love for them. You see, by loving our neighbor, we are showing Christ that we love him as well. So when we are doing things for our neighbors and sharing genuine love and care, fulfilling the purpose of our life, we are also telling the Lord, "I love you because I'm fulfilling this commandment in your behalf." Who is our neighbor? Christ answered that question. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? A man who was half Jew, half Gentile, frowned upon, offset by the locals of that day. People didn't want anything to do with Samaritans. They had to have their own little place to live, all by themselves. He was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, all by himself. Shouldn't have been doing that. He should have been with a crowd of people. And so he fell among thieves. There were bandits along the road that jumped him and attacked him and beat him up, took his goods and ran off, left him to die along the road. You know the story. Priest came along, he skirted around him, said, "Poor fellow." Some others came along and skirted around him, looked on him and said, "Poor fellow." But this Samaritan, this half Jew, half Gentile, came along, saw him. What did he do? He put his love into action. Went to him. cradled his head, poured wine into the wounds, poured oil to heal, wrapped him up as best he could, put him on his own donkey, and took him to the local inn and paid the bill for them to take care of him. He said, now, did you hear that? He took money out of his own pocket. He didn't go around to all the neighbors saying, hey, can you help me out here? Huh? That's what we're prone to do, isn't it? Go around to everybody else, hey, can you give me something here to help, help, help? That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But this man took money out of his own pocket. Well, I'm willing to help others as long as it doesn't cost me anything. Not that kind of an attitude. But he went to him, he bound him up, paid his bill, and said, if he owes any more than that, when I come back the next time, I'll pay you what he owes you. Jesus said, now that is your neighbor. He didn't know him, didn't have a name for him, knew nothing about him except he had a need. And he needed to be loved, and he needed to be cared for. How many know somebody that needs to be loved? Somebody that needs to be cared for in this old life. Then it becomes our duty to fulfill. It becomes the purpose of life to fulfill the command of Christ, love my neighbor as myself. Therefore, our neighbor is everyone in the world, no matter his status, no matter his condition, no matter his circumstances. Every person is to be esteemed better than ourselves. If you're not doing that, you're missing the mark. When you come to the end of your life, there'll be a lack of satisfaction about the life you have lived. Because you see, this is the fulfillment of the purpose of our being here, our living on this earth. To love your neighbor involves very practical acts that are spelled out in 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is patient. Don't you call me anymore. I'm done with you. I'm through. Get out of my hair! No. Love suffers long and is patient. That individual that you're having a trouble with, that person that's causing you pain and sorrow, to love your neighbor is suffers long and is patient with them. Love is secondly kind. Right here. Here's $5. Go get your booze or whatever you want. I don't care. No. Love is kind, is caring. The man went and wrapped up this bleeding and dying individual and poured wine and oil into his wounds to bring healing. Kindness reaches out, not looking down our nose. I had a man come up to me the other day, the last Saturday when I was going into a restaurant. Man came up to me out of the parking lot. And he looked at me and he said, I'm not a beggar. He wasn't dressed the best, but he said it over and over, I'm not a beggar, but can you give me some help? Now, does it behoove us when somebody comes to us that way to spurn them and say, get out of my way, get out of my presence? Or with kindness to reach out. Love does not envy and it is not jealous. Love does not boast. Love is not prideful. It does not behave itself rudely. Are you hearing me? This is how to love your neighbor. Love seeks not her own, is not selfish. Well, I'll help you out, but you gotta help me back. No. It's not looking out for its own well-being. Love is not easily provoked. It's not touchy. I don't have a watch on. Am I running out of time? It's only 8 after 12. My word. It harbors no evil plan. Love does not rejoice when others are wronged, but rejoices in the blessing of others. Love bears all. Nobody, I said to them Wednesday night, has anybody ever gotten your goat? The only reason they got it, because you let them know where you tied him. Those that do you wrong, those that do you bad, you love them and you bear whatever they dish out because you're loving them with all of your heart. Love is ready to believe the best in everyone. Love keeps up hope in everything, and love endures all things without weakening. There it is. To love your neighbor, doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter what race, what nationality, it doesn't matter how unruly they've been, how hateful they've been. Did Jesus love you when you were a sinner? Was He willing to bear long with you and suffer with you and be patient when you spurned Him time and time and time again? Was He there when you reached the bottom of the barrel and you couldn't even you had to stand on a nickel to jump over a dime? Was He there? Yes, He was. And when you cry out to Him, He's ready to wrap His arms around you and love you. To fulfill your greatest purpose in life is to love Christ and to love your neighbor as yourself. Is this purpose being accomplished in your life? If not, now's the time to start doing so. Today, you can begin to fulfill your purpose of life and at the end of your life be satisfied that you have loved. Bow your heads. Lord Jesus, You know every heart. Even the hearts of children, young people. You know every heart. There's one thing that we start out here with this morning. You love every person here. You have loved them with everything you've had. You've given your all for each one of us. And all you ask from us is to purpose in our lives to love you back with everything within us and to love our neighbor, whoever that may be, as ourselves. The Lord, maybe there's some of us here this morning that have come up way short here. Maybe there's some of us that have fallen way short of fulfilling this wonderful and gracious, glorious purpose of life. If that is true, then right now, Lord, we're going to pray a prayer. And as we pray that prayer, come in cleanse us, wash us, grant to us your grace, so that out of our hearts can issue pure and true love to you and to all our neighbors. If you have come up short this morning, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I humbly ask you to forgive me of my past. Forgive me of my wrongdoings. Wash away my sins. Take the stony coldness out of my heart. Replace it with your love. Make me your child. I want to serve you. I want to live for you. And I want the purpose of my life to be loving you and loving all my neighbors. So that when I come to the end of my way, I can be satisfied that my purpose in life has been fulfilled. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, Amen.